The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the program, Ali Moreno will be here to look ahead to Brazil against Argentina. But we kick things off with the World Cup winners, France, and it's yet another draw. This time away against Ukraine. Shaka and Frank join me. Frank, that's what, five games in a row for France where they haven't won a match. You thought after that draw against Bosnia-Herzegovina, they would be out, they'd have a point to prove. They were so desperately flat throughout much of this game.
I don't even know what to say, Dan. That was appalling performance, really. They didn't show much. I thought Ukraine was even better when they had the possession of the ball than France. They had a little bit of reaction when they conceded the goal. They scored again, a lucky goal with the help of a defender. But except having hit the post once by Diaby, nothing much to say. Poor performance. We lost the world champion. We lost the stamina, the talent, the confidence that they had in their skills. I don't recognize that team. I don't know what's going on right now. I think Didier Deschamps has lots of work to do with the players, to work on the tactics, to work on the confidence of some players, or maybe should think of changing some players. And the first one that I think is Antoine Griezmann. I mean, it's been 2 years that the guy is under pressure at Barcelona, couldn't find his post and his position there, and he's still the leader of the national team. So maybe something has to change.
No Kylian Mbappe, of course, out with a calf injury. How surprised were you, Frank, that it was Martial who was leading the line?
That was a surprise. I thought Didier Deschamps would trust Benzema. He said that Karim Benzema wasn't fit enough. You know, he just started the Liga, and so he needs more time to get prepared. So he gave a rest to Benzema and gave a chance to Martial, which is a good thing because Martial scored a goal, and it's been such a long time since he did. So that's fine for me. Lots of players injured. The season doesn't start well, you know, when we see Lemar, Kanté, Mbappé leaving the squad and the national team. It's not good for the future of France.
Shaq, I know there are injuries there, but the quality that is on the pitch should be much better than we saw today.
Yeah. Without question, and I agree with Frank here. This is a France team with no real identity. Especially in the first half, the only thing that France did well was pass the ball out to the back, and that's saying a lot for, as you just put it, Dan, a very talented French team. The Ukraine looked like they could score every time on the counter attack. At the same time, France didn't, the final pass as soon as they got into the attacking third seemed to be lacking. They never really dominated the midfield. Ukraine sat back, allowed them some possession in midfield, but when it came time to break play up or just stifle the game, take control of the game, I don't think they had an answer for Ukraine and their high tempo game. And then, thankfully, for Lloris, especially in the first half, who made a couple of decent saves, somehow France go into the break just 1-0 down. Their response immediately after the halftime interval was very good, very encouraging. But after about 30 minutes, I thought it was fairly even from there on in. And given that, I thought Ukraine was certainly the better team in the first 45. I think France can count themselves maybe a little bit lucky that they get a point, though, as Frank pointed out, they did hit the post with probably their best moment of the game.
Now, the supporters of Didier Deschamps will say, how on earth can you question him as the manager of France? Because let's not forget, just 3 years ago, he led this team to World Cup victory. Disaster, though, in the Euros. And the concern would be from a France perspective, Frank, is that are we seeing parallels between what's going on with Deschamps and what happened with Jogi Löw at Germany?
Well, that's the main concern that you can have for Didier Deschamps. And I said before Euro, if you trust all the players who brought you to the top of the world in 3 years from now, you're going to make the same mistakes with our team, where Roger Lemaire kept mostly all the team from the World Cup and the Euro 98 and 2000 to maybe think that he would be able to lift the next World Cup in 2002, and it was a disaster. And I said before the World Cup, even if those players are the leaders, even though those players are talented and they are world champion, you should be ready to say, okay, guys, you've done your job, but I will change stuff because I need to refresh, I need to restart, I need to remotivate players. He didn't. He stuck with the players. They have the talent. Do they have the stamina to keep on going? Well, we can have doubts after that Euro and some games that we saw now. They can surprise us, they can go back to their best. But when it starts like that, it's not a good sign.
And the thing is, of course, Shaq, you've got the replacement literally waiting in the wings. Zinedine Zidane, without a club at the moment, would seem the perfect fit. Would you do it? Would you make the switch now?
I'm not sure if you make the switch right now. Listen, France still have their own fate in their own hands. As the table sits, Finland are 4 points back with two games in hand. But France play Finland twice. The first of those games is at home. They also play Kazakhstan at home. They get 7 points from the remaining three games, and France qualifies for the World Cup. So I'm not sure if right now is the time that you make that change. We're, 15 months out from the next World Cup? And though I think the comparison to Jogi Löw is a good one and makes sense, I'm not sure that comparison alone justifies making the change at this point.
Get ready for this, boys. I've just thought of this.
Dan.
Oh, wait.
Dan,
no, Frank. Dan, you've got to listen to this. Oh. Ready? Frank. If Didier Deschamps doesn't get a result against Finland, is he finished? Finished.
No, of course not. Of course not. I think the president of the federation told him that he's going to last longer, and off court, he's going to get the result. I'm not concerned and worried about France being qualified or not for the World Cup. But in almost a year from now, it's the World Cup. So they have to restart and to make sure that everything it's better, much better, if they want to have a chance to lift again that trophy.
But there's nothing that suggests it's going to get better, Frank. That would be the issue if I'm a France supporter.
Yeah, but you know, nothing was saying, you know, like 4 months ago that France would have a horrible Euro. Everybody thought they were the best team in the world, that they could win, that everybody... You said to me once, Frank, it's unfair. They're too strong. Mm. They're too talented. Well, you see, that's what happened, you know, when you don't stick together, you don't work together, but it can be reversed. I have no doubt that they can do that. In France, in our country, when it's too easy, we lose. When it's complicated, when we have trouble, suddenly we react. And we become good.
But the thing is, if you've got the best squad in the world and you're not getting results, there's one person to blame, surely, Frank, and that's Deschamps.
Well, he will be kicked out, you know, if he doesn't get the result in the World Cup. I think Zinedine Zidane is warming up, is ready, but there is a time that the president of the federation gave to Didier Deschamps, and Didier Deschamps proved during his career as a coach that he's able to change stuff, and he will. I trust him. I still trust him. He's going to react. He's going to make choices. He has to make choices. Benzema came back where nobody thought that he would be back, but he can make other changes. You know, saying that some players maybe will be out, and some new players will come, and some talents will show up. I don't really think that Didier Deschamps will be put out within like a year or a year and a half, maybe after the World Cup.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. A lot more from Frank and Shaka on the latest edition of Extra Time. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
The Netherlands were exceptional today, beating Montenegro by 4-0 to reflect on that game. Ali Moreno is here. Ali, they bossed this pretty much from start to finish, didn't they?
They did, and they needed to. They were under some criticism after the game against Norway. Louis van Gaal, of course, taking over Frank de Boer, and the team didn't quite look like they knew exactly what they wanted to do. The speed of play wasn't quite there against Norway. It was today against Montenegro. And of course, when you think about the Netherlands and the attacking half, you have to mention Memphis Depay, who once again is the reference point. Whenever the ball goes to him, something happens, usually positive, scores a couple of goals. Then after that, Netherlands were very, very comfortable. Gakpo scores a beautiful fourth goal. Wijnaldum gets involved with the third goal, running from deep in the midfield. A nice combination with Weghorst. Everything that you wanted to see from the Netherlands, you saw today, certainly offensively. Defensively, they still got some issues. The league wasn't that great. De Vrij with some issues. But in the end, for nothing, you take it and you prepare for what's next. And what's next is playing against Turkey at home. Why is that significant? Well, because if you look at the standings, Turkey is leading this group by 1 point. It's a really tight group right now with Turkey at 11, and then you have the Netherlands and Norway at 10 points. So, if you're the Netherlands, you have to back up this performance that you had today against Montenegro with yet another dominant performance at home against Turkey. That will solidify your position at top of this group. If not, anything less than that is going to keep you in a fight, and it's going to keep Turkey and Norway really interested in this group.
Okay, am I overstretching, Ali? If I was to say, if we were to compile a list of the best players with regards to just purely form right now, Memphis Depay would be top five?
No, you're not stretching. I think right now he's playing with a tremendous level of confidence, and it isn't just the confidence, because before we've seen from Memphis Depay that the confidence and the arrogance is there, but it was hollow. There wasn't any substance to it. It was a lot of show and a lot of flash, but no substance. Now there's a whole lot of substance to it. So he's doing his back heels and his tricks and he's stepping over the ball and all these other things, but then he's also finding somebody with a pass, or he's scoring a goal himself, or he's making a decision that changes the game, either for the Netherlands or Barcelona for that matter. So at this point, you look at Memphis Depay and the player he has become, I think the talent and the maturity have now matched up. And when you put that together, then you see the performances from Memphis Depay that have been consistent enough for both club and country to say, yeah, this guy right now is playing at an elite level.
Meanwhile, Sunday, Ali, it's all about Brazil against Argentina, one of the biggest rivalries in the game. Of course, it's for CONMEBOL qualifying. Both teams go into the match unbeaten. Brazil, though, of course, still maintain that perfect record. This, as always, should be a fascinating contest in Sao Paulo.
The first thing we have to say about this game is, look, They're both going to make it to the World Cup, right? So let's not try to somehow talk about potentially what this may mean for Argentina or Brazil. They're going to finish 1-2 in CONMEBOL qualifiers. The other thing that you have to say about this game, if you're Brazil, is that this is sort of half of Brazil that is going to be available because of the restrictions and COVID restrictions in the Premier League and England and this and that and the other. And so you have players like Gabriel Jesus and Ederson and Thiago Silva and Fabinho and Roberto Firmino that are not available to Brazil. And so because of that, you have Hulk. Hulk, yes, Hulk. I'm going to say that again. Hulk is still a part of the picture for Brazil. He's had, I suppose, good performances with Atletico Mineiro, but you wouldn't think that he would be back with the national team. Dani Alves, back with the national team. All these guys now sort of have to play a part, and you don't quite have Neymar at his best, so Everton Ribeiro is the one that has to score the game-winning goal against Chile. But yet Brazil seems to find ways to the point to where now there are 7 matches played and 7 wins, they're perfect, 21 points. As for Argentina, what I will tell you about Argentina, more important than anything else, is the fact they're so very fortunate that Lionel Messi is still playing. Because after the tackle he received from Venezuelan defender Adrián Martínez the other day, that was criminal. That was assault and battery. And quite frankly, Adrián Martínez, who was on the field because José Manuel Velázquez, another central defender from Venezuela, had torn his Achilles tendon during the match, he had to come off. Martínez comes on and he just about broke the leg of Lionel Messi. It was a terrible challenge, and somehow, Lionel Messi kept playing the game and now will be available to also play against Brazil. So once you get past that scare and you're Argentina, you're going to Brazil with the confidence of knowing that the last time you played in Brazil, against Brazil, you beat them in the Copa America final. And it's going to be that same sort of match. Argentina is going to frustrate Brazil, is going to look for 1 or 2 chances, maybe a counterattack opportunity and trying to win the game that way. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how physical this becomes, how competitive this becomes, or if Brazil is able to get the ball away from Argentina and play the game. And if they allow themselves to play the game with a certain pace, a certain rhythm, maybe they'll dominate it. But Argentina will be fine in absorbing some of that pressure and going on a counter.
Ali Moreno, as always, thank you very much. Of course, we'll be reflecting on that game on the next edition of ESPN FC.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Elsewhere today in World Cup European qualifying, Denmark maintained their 100% perfect start. Just the one goal was enough to see them beat the Faroe Islands. Jonas Wind's late strike would give them all 3 points. Meanwhile, Israel thrashed Austria by 5-2. We're expecting a tight, nervy affair as anything but Israel dominant throughout and taking 3 important points that lift them up to 2nd in the table. Meanwhile, Lyndon Dyke's goal was enough to see Scotland beat Moldova by 1-0, keeping their hopes just about alive of finishing in the top 2. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow for more as we reflect on Brazil-Argentina. Till then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We've got me, Shaka, and Frank. What's that, 3 people? Probably the same number that turned up to your book signing today. Was it Frank, I heard?
No, you're incorrect, Daniel. Mister. You're very much incorrect, you know. I saw at least 20 people in 1 hour buying my book. I was in a library. Well, library. A bookshop, a bookstore. So we much more. It's a bestseller. We're almost getting to the bestseller. Be careful.
Frank, were you very nice to people? Dedicating the book to them?
I was.
Signing it off for them?
Yes. Very nice, talking to them. Some people say, oh wow, I didn't know you were able to write a book. I say, well, you know, I did my best. And say, okay, I'll buy it. Okay,
wow.
Well done, that's it. That's it.
Shaka, I would have...
What a selling point, what a sales pitch that is. Shaka, I did my best to write the book.
I would have definitely paid somebody in that bookshop to go up to Frank and go, Fabian, I loved you at Manchester United.
No, but you know, Shaka, I say that because we start from so far down, you know, that people don't think that we're able to write. We're football players overall, you know, so everybody knows that we're all so stupid, you know, and so we barely don't know how to write and to read. That's what it is.
Yep.
Okay, let's get on with some questions, shall we?
Okay.
What was the biggest difference between playing for your club and playing internationally, Shaka?
Ooh. Who, me? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're the only Shaka.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear you say Shaka. All right. Let me tell it this way. The first time I got called up for the England team, Nigel Martin was the starting goalkeeper. And I thought Nigel Martin was an incredibly talented goalkeeper. And he said to me, in terms of getting your mindset right, in club football, you're making saves, you're involved in the game pretty much throughout, you have to stay focused. In international football, people don't kick shots generally from a long way out. They're going to pass it. They're going to try to get to within 6 yards and shoot from there. So it's a different mentality, especially as a goalkeeper, where you may make a save or two in a game, and you may concede three or four in that very same game. It's just how you focus, how you marshal the defense. That is the biggest difference, say, in terms of mindset of a goalkeeper going into the game. I think tactically, the game is a whole lot slower in international football than it is in club football.
What about you, Frank?
I think there is a huge difference because first, you know, you don't really know your teammates. You barely train like 2 days before you have the game. So you don't have automatism with them like you would have with your teammates in clubs. But the level is bigger. The level, you have the best of the best of every country that you play against. And the pressure that you have from the media, but also from the fans, and from the responsibility of honoring your country is much bigger than anything with the club. So I think it's more difficult to play with the national team than to play with the club.
Frank, Ronaldo insists on taking every single free kick and penalty, even though he's mediocre at best. Wow. At what point does the skipper need to put the team's success ahead of Ronaldo's ego and let Bruno Fernandes do his thing?
That's complicated. It's almost impossible to change that order, I would say. Every time he goes somewhere, Ronaldo took charge of everything. He's the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world. And when it comes to Manchester United, you have to give some space to the king. And that's what it is. And that's the prime for Bruno Fernandes with the national team. We can feel that when he's playing for Manchester United, he's much stronger, much a leader than when he plays with Portugal. And that's going to be his duty. That's going to be his responsibility. To make sure that he can keep the level that he has with Manchester United, even if Ronaldo play alongside him. That's going to be tricky. I don't know if somebody can say to Ronaldo, you know what, Bruno Fernandes kicks very well the free kick, so leave it to him. Penalties, leave it to him. He's going to say, oh, do you think who I am? Well, he's not going to say that like that, but he's going to mean it. I'm Ronaldo, I do that. Even if I missed, I do again.
It's down to Ollie, isn't it? Mm. Shaka to sort all this out.
It is. But we had this discussion about Ronaldo last year, I'm sure, with Juventus. And the general consensus is you let Ronaldo kick the free kicks and the penalties. Even though, and I'm using the words of the question here, he may be mediocre. That's not my phrase. Because you prefer to take 89 minutes of Ronaldo at his best, even if it means a couple of free kicks going to row R, as opposed to a sulking Ronaldo, who I think is a bigger liability. So you let him take it and trust that whatever happens with those, he makes up for it during the other 89 minutes of the game.
Who is the biggest game-changing transfer in...
Dan, we had the problem with Neymar when he signed for Paris Saint-Germain. Yeah. And remember that fight Cavani, that he had with Cavani. And Cavani didn't let him shoot the penalty and Cavani missed. It's going to be the same. You can have the same question for Messi. What's going to happen in Paris Saint-Germain with Mbappé, Neymar, and Messi? Because who shoots penalties? Who shoots penalties for Barca was Messi. So it's going to be a big fight as well there.
Who's the biggest game-changing transfer in La Liga? Memphis Depay or Antoine Griezmann, Frank?
Well, so far, we don't know what's going to happen to Griezmann coming back to Atleti. But we now seeing the impact of Depay since he signed for Lyon, from Lyon to Barcelona. And I have to say, I'm very, very much surprised because really the guy does the job where I was not very impressed with what he did when he was in Lyon. So far, so good. So I guess for the moment, the biggest impact is Memphis Depay.
Shaka, who has had a better international career, Messi or Ronaldo? Don't forget, Messi has won World Cup Best Player and is the top assist provider in World Cup history. So they're trying to influence your answer
That seems to be a question and an answer all in one. Who's had a better international career? That's a really good question. I'm kind of leaning Ronaldo, but only just because I think his supporting cast, on paper anyway, is a whole lot less than Argentina's. And if you want to draw comparisons around Messi winning a Copa America, Ronaldo winning the Euros, Ronaldo winning the Euros, Messi gets into a World Cup final, and Ronaldo kind of, you know, winning individual honors. But just because of the supporting cast, and I know Argentina hasn't lived up to what those names should add up to on paper, I'm leaning Ronaldo, but just.
What was one of the most important things you learned from a senior player when you were just starting out in the game? Shaka?
I just spoke about my conversation with Nigel Martin.
Yep.
I think certainly in international football, that was the most valuable thing to me for playing internationally throughout. Not that this person told me this, but when I was playing for Reading, I used to drive down to Southampton to go and watch Bruce Grobbelaar play. We went after he left Liverpool, and I just felt Bruce Grobbelaar's kind of attitude and demeanor on the field. Mistakes never bothered him. It was incredible to witness how he could put things behind him even during a game as quickly as he did, and I thought that served me well for the long term in my own club career. So it's not something that, as I say, Bruce Grobbelaar and I discussed or he said to me, but it's just something I observed of him in going to watch him play every opportunity I could while I was at Reading.
What about you, Frank?
I would say And I have no names. Well, I have one name. It's my former coach from Strasbourg, Leonard Specht, played for Bordeaux, international player, winning the French championship, saying to me that I should respect myself, but overall, I should respect the eldest and listen to them. And I try to do that all my career long, where I play with older players and I listened to them, but I made sure that I was respected even if I was young. So I tried to do that because it's a very good advice, because right now, I don't feel it's quite the same with the new generation. Not sure about that.
What's up to Frank? Has Frank got shorter or is his camera moved?
I didn't move.
You're looking lower, Frank. And you were, you see? Now you're down there.
Oh no, I can't even go down like that if you want to, you know. I can do like that. It's me, extra time. I can go like that.
You're back. Your seat's slipped. I prefer it when you're just off camera completely.
That's an ESPN chair, so maybe they have to send me a new one, you know.
Maybe
that one is broken, you know.
Perfect.
Look at the. Oh my god. It's broken. That chair is broken.
Definitely.
Buy a new chair.
Sales.
Yeah.
Well, I have to wait. I need 20 more books to sell,
and I can
reach it.
Yeah, you can only afford two legs at the moment.
Or just sit on some books.
Okay, Frank, Chiellini and Bonucci or Varane and Ramos, if you had to pick one team at their best?
Oh, la. No, I will go for Chiellini and Bonucci. That pair has been absolutely fantastic. And they showed it again during the Euro. I'm very fond of Ramos. For me, Ramos is the best central defender of this generation, for sure. And I love Bonucci and Chiellini because those three are defenders from our times. Varane is a modern defender, but I found him very much lost when Ramos wasn't alongside him. So it's why I picked Chiellini and Bonucci. Of course, Varane and Ramos, they won, well, I guess, four times the Champions League. So nothing much to criticize about. But I find Chiellini and Bonucci absolutely fantastic.
After a great result on the international stage, was it difficult to return back to your clubs and regain momentum? Yeah, what was that like, Shaq? Like when you qualified for the World Cup 2006, like what was it like then going back to club football to focus?
Easy.
Yeah.
After you've been in the game for a while, you know, you just move from game to game,
right?
And it doesn't matter. And you learn that regardless of win, lose, or draw, you know, you kind of put that behind you within 24, 48 hours, and you move on to the next one. I don't think it was an issue at all.
Frank, I understand you won a World Cup. What was it like then going back to domestic football after that?
Well, I came back to Chelsea, and first I have to say that nobody was there because with Marcel Desailly we were the only two to train because the squad was in the Netherlands to for the preseason. But when we came back all together, that was nice, you know. Some players said, "Okay, that's good." My coach was very nice, Gianluca Vialli. He said, "Well, you know, what the hell? You only played one game." I said, "Well, thank you very much, Gianluca. That was very nice of you." It's when we started to come along very well, you know. But you know, the worst comeback that I made is when we won at Wembley against England after the World Cup, when we won 2-0 at Wembley, and I came back and I think Dennis Wise was with the national team. And you feel a little bit embarrassed because, I mean, you're in England, and it's like something that is disrespectful. So I felt a little bit embarrassed.
You're so humble.
Proud of myself,
so,
but
so
embarrassed.
So humble, Frank. That's the next book.
I'm respectful.
Okay, final question. We've been talking about sports that you don't like watching. Would you rather watch Gab playing golf, Naden playing baseball, or Ali playing cricket?
Oh,
Gab playing golf. Gab playing golf, and the odd second one is what?
Nathan playing baseball, or Ali playing cricket. These are all sports they do not like watching. You're taking this all very seriously, boys.
No, me it's clear. It's Ali playing cricket. I don't like cricket. I don't understand the rules. I don't understand. It's too long.
I was just thinking, I'd love to see Ali playing cricket. Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
That'd be very good, wouldn't it? That'd be very funny.
As would Guy playing golf, by the way. That would also be hilarious.
All of them. Well, all
so
of them
just for the laugh value,
yes.
Nathan playing baseball is the least.
So would
top my list as to the least I'd want to see.
Yeah. When is your next book signing?
Hey, by the way, did we say? No, we don't care about the book. We didn't say to the audience that during the Euro, Shaka and Steve Nichols played with me. We played baseball in the ESPN studios. Right. Not even ESPN studios.
We played cricket.
ESPN office.
We played cricket,
Frank.
Cricket. We play cricket. And right. Shaka Hislop is very good.
Yeah.
He's very good at it. He can.
There you go.
He can. You know.
Much better
put
cricketer
the ball
than
on
he
the
was
side,
goalkeeper.
Your side, very
That's
good.
It.
Of course, much better.
Shut up, Daniel.
On that note, we'll be back tomorrow for more. Of course, much of tomorrow's show dedicated to that huge game between Brazil and Argentina. Be sure to join us.